It just might be that people aren't connecting to their libido or understanding it, and it may be showing up differently to when they first started dating their partner because of so many messages or so many things that have happened in their life since. So in order to understand libido and how it may be affecting their ability to climax, we need to connect what is going on in the brain and in the body.
Warning, adult content.
The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
What is an orgasm? I'm going to admit something here. I, for a long time, didn't actually know. For the first 5 years of me being sexually active, I'd talk about it with a particular friend. I'd try heaps of times by myself and with my then boyfriend. And, you know, my mate would ask me, did you get there this time? Did you do it? And I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know, maybe? I think so. I don't know. And that friend, they'd be like, oh, well, you know, if it happened, you'd know, you know? And I was like, well, I'm not so sure that I would. How would I know? Maybe I'd already been there, you know, and it wasn't like the fireworks that everyone had promised. I'd just get to this point where I was so uncomfortable that I had to stop. It was too much and I didn't like it. And I thought, well, crap, what if that's it? What if that's what everyone's been talking about and it sucks? I was so confused for ages. It was a real point of contention with my boyfriend and I as well. He couldn't get what was wrong with me and I just didn't have an answer for him. Then, it sounds silly, but I happened upon a TV show called Masters of Sex that helped things make a lot of sense.
Every masturbatory act we've witnessed follows this same pattern of excitement, plateau, orgasm, resolution. We have those numbers, so let's move on.
It kind of all clicked together. Yeah, I could pick the stages that Masters and Johnson were talking about. I could work out what was happening at different stages of getting down. I was like, oh, there's the excitement phase and there's the plateau and, oh, I think I got to orgasm. And while there's been criticisms of that theory, it did get me paying more attention to what my body was doing at different points. And yeah, it helped me get there. So I wondered recently that if knowing more about how orgasms work could help me, maybe learning about how our bodies actually experience pleasure could help a lot of people out there, like Emma, who recently emailed The Hookup with her story.
So I recently went on a few dates with a guy who slid into my DMs on Insta. He was super fun to hang out with, really friendly, but obviously just wanted to bang. I'm usually not into casual sex, but look, he got lucky, I was in the mood, and it had been a while, so I was just like, why not? Anyways, the sex was good, but I was unable to finish. He began to question me about it, so I explained to him that it can be difficult at times and can take a few goes, and that it was good, it's not your fault, etc., etc. And I also said that this wasn't unusual for me. You know, only one guy has previously been able to make it happen. But he was confused, and he replied, "That's okay, we'll try again." So I hit him up a week later, and he basically messaged me saying he wasn't into me because I didn't come when we banged. It didn't make him feel good, even though he finished. It killed my confidence during sex, so how can I fix this problem? Is coming expected? Is he just a dick? Am I broken? Can I change to come more? Please help.
And I thought maybe knowing what's happening would help Emma out. So that's what we're doing right now. It's an Ask Anything You've Ever Wanted to Know About the Wonderful Orgasm. We're joined by sex educator Georgia Grace. Georgia, welcome to The Hookup.
Hi, Nat. Thanks. Great to be here.
So as you can kind of hear from me and Emma, that a lot of people are a bit confused about what actually goes on when you're having an orgasm. You hear all this stuff about it and you hear that it's like, oh, you'll know when you have it and it's this perfect kind of moment. But it's not always kind of that cut and dry, is it?
No, absolutely not. And still, a single overarching explanation of the orgasm doesn't currently exist. And that's kind of a good thing because The journey to an orgasm is such an individual experience that there really is no singular or all-encompassing definition. But I did really like your recognition of the Masters and Johnson sort of linear understanding and process to orgasm, because it can make sense to a lot of people, understanding the journey from desire to arousal and then plateau, orgasm, and the sort of refraction period can make sense. And for people who are learning about what orgasm means, where they may be in certain stages of arousal, can be relatable. But then also acknowledging that sex is so much more than this. And if you can wave that erotic possibility and learning to ride it and learning about your body, learning about pleasure that's more than just a penetration and more than just that expectation to climax, there's so much more pleasure that can be experienced beyond these habits of sexual trajectory.
Mm. Well, let's learn a little bit about what's happening in your body, because I think no matter what kind of orgasm you're having, there might be a few like physical body sort of patterns that you can kind of look out for. What is happening to you physically when you come?
Physically, there is so much going on in your body. So we could look at different parts of the body, like your skin, your pain threshold more than doubles. So that kind of explains that what you may be experiencing when you're having sex or in orgasmic states that might feel really good, that when you're not aroused actually would be uncomfortable or painful. Your skin also becomes flushed and it can sweat or tremble. And then looking at your eyes, your pupils dilate. Some people even say that their vision increases and that they can see more. And at your nose, people breathe harder during climactic states or on their way to orgasm. So that improves your olfactory senses. And this allows you to take in more of the pheromones, which are those chemicals that signal your sexual compatibility to your partner. And your mouth, the salivation increases, your heart on average, your blood pressure goes right up, and climaxing gets you hot. Your body temperature and metabolism rise slightly, even if it wasn't a vigorous session. And of course, there's blood flow to your genitals. They become engorged. And once you reach orgasm, the muscles involuntarily rhythmically contract and then relax.
So you could kind of like detect those contractions at least probably. Like, do they speed up as you get closer to finishing?
Yeah. Well, there's actually all different types of climaxes, that there could be more of a rhythmic response to a climax. It could be more of a slow, deep pulsation that's more relaxing. But generally and typically speaking, yeah, at the peak of climax, those rhythms do speed up.
And what's happening in your brain when you orgasm?
Yeah. So in your brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for logical thought, shuts down. And the limbic system, which regulates your feelings, that takes over. So that may explain why you feel more animalistic. But then at the same time, the dopamine, your body's reward hormone, which is associated with pretty much absolutely anything that feels good, surges through your body, giving you a sense of intense pleasure.
And you were just mentioning before as well, obviously the orgasm is so wide and varied, and while these things are kind of consistent, you can have orgasms in lots of different ways. What are some of the different types and ways that you can climax?
Yeah, so there are combination or blended orgasms. So that's a variety of different orgasmic experiences all blended together. So that could happen with different parts of erogenous zones throughout your body. Typically, that's associated to, if we're looking at someone who has a vulva, that could be a clitoral climax along with a G-crest or G-spot climax as a blended or at the same time. That's quite an intense climax. That's kind of the climax that people hope for. And then there's multiple orgasms, so one after the other, with really a short period of time in between the orgasmic experiences. There's pressure orgasm, so this comes from direct pressure and stimulation. Relaxation climaxes, so these are a sense of deep relaxation. People often say that this is a result of or typically associated to stimulation of the anus. And then there's tension orgasm, so a common form of orgasm from direct stimulation. And then there's other, I've spoken with a lot of people who speak about fantasy orgasms, so not needing any kind of touch or any physical stimulation, but it results from mental stimulation alone. And this mentally induced orgasms can be as a result of breath work or deep meditation. And that moves into sort of more of an embodied feeling of a climax, that where we look at how breath work plays into it, or movement or sound, and it's more of a tension release and over the whole body.
Yeah, it sounds like you'd have to train pretty hard to pull something like that off, like very Jedi mind trick style sort of thing.
Yeah, you do. You do. It takes, like any kind of mindful practice, it takes time and attention and awareness, and also just an awareness of your body. A really simple way to become aware of your embodied capacity to have a climax that is beyond your genitals is to start locating sensations in your body, how it feels in certain parts and why it feels like that, and bring that sensation to life so you can be more mindful in that sensation and in the pleasure that you feel.
We're talking about how orgasms work tonight on The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich, and I'm with sex educator Georgia Grace. Jack from Brisbane, you've got a problem and you want to ask Georgia about it. Fire away.
G'day, how you going?
Hey, Jack.
I have been with my girlfriend for a fair while now, nearly a year. And I, no matter what I do, I honestly cannot do it. I cannot make her come. It's not that, foreplay, toys, I just, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Is she able to reach climax on her own or through masturbation?
Yes.
Okay. It may be a case of asking her about how she pleasures herself and really getting a sense of what she's doing. And instead of making it the climax, the goal, creating an experience where you speak together. So if something's not feeling good for her, to invite conversation. And you can use language such as, how does this feel? What would make this touch feel better? And for her to be as descriptive and give as many instructions as to what she wants and needs, and allow for it to be perhaps awkward or clunky at first, because like anything, it's a skill to understand how people experience pleasure and to allow for the time to learn about your bodies too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's something to go for. She has explained that how she does it. She normally does it in the shower. She's let me know how she does it and all this.
Tried it in the shower?
Yes. Yep. So that's why I was thinking maybe it's like sort of her place. She feels comfortable in the shower. So I thought maybe I should try it there, and that didn't work either.
Yeah, there could also be other ways to get you both intimately aroused and excited. So try experiences like using blindfolds and using all of her senses and not making it genitally focused, because when there's an association around either her clitoris or her G-spot or G-crest, then there's pressure for there to be an outcome. But what if you could really savour the experience and create it something that's meant to be an opportunity for you to pleasure each other without actually having the goal to climax? And I find that when I work with couples who have similar problems or issues to the ones that you're speaking about, taking that goal away and going with the experience and exploring each other is a great first step.
Okay. All right. well, that's, all right, well, that's advice that I can go by, and I'll give her a better crack.
Thanks, great. Jack. Best of luck with it.
Thank you. Bye.
Amy from Essendon, you've got a question for Georgia.
Yeah, hey, so I'm a female and am sexually active. When I'm having sex with guys, I wonder if I don't have, in comparison to guys, a physical substance, so basically cum, if I don't have that physically come out of my body, am I still experiencing an orgasm, if that makes sense?
Yeah, yes, you are. So the physical substance you're speaking about could be what they term ejaculate, which comes out of the Skene's glands, which is located near the urethral opening. So some people do, when they are climaxing, they do express from these Skene's glands. However, the sensation of climax and orgasm is more of a contraction and release. So just because you're not expressing in a way like ejaculation, it doesn't mean that you're not climaxing. It's more reframing it to look at the sensations of pleasure associated to climax.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, thank you.
Hope that helps, Amy. Thanks for the call. One large thing that really impacts your ability to have an orgasm, I think, is your libido. And I want to start by asking you, Georgia, how does your libido or your sex drive affect your ability to climax?
It can have a huge impact on your ability to climax. So libido is the energy of sexual drive, appetite, passion. It's an urge or a longing. And it's a huge component of instinct. And that instinct really ties into your sexual instinct too. But it's also influenced by biological, psychological, physiological, social factors. And so often we see it as something that is gendered or a result of how a partner is showing up, but it's really something that you feel. And because of this, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, but I don't feel like having sex, or my sex drive is gone. I used to want to have sex with my partner when we first started dating. But it just might be that people aren't connecting to their libido or understanding it, and it may be showing up differently to when they first started dating their partner because of so many messages or so many things that have happened in their life since. So in order to understand libido and how it may be affecting their ability to climax, we need to connect what is going on in the brain and in the body, and even, as you said, Nat, that awareness of drive and awareness of how you're feeling in your body or in your relationship with your own pleasure or with others, that's really the first part of being able to experience more pleasure.
How can you sort of overcome that, though? Like, can you will yourself into improving your appetite?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is, because it's like a muscle. And I work with something called a libido training wheel. So for people who are at this stage where they're in their initial stages and they're trying to reclaim their libido, we go through different ways that they can practice. And it's four simple things, and it begins with thinking. So this is as simple as dedicating 10 minutes a day to thinking erotic or exciting or arousing thoughts. That could be thinking about a past experience that they've had that was really exciting, or it could be thinking about a fantasy that they really want to fulfill. And then another element is speaking, so practicing voicing desires. And if it's not necessarily sexual, practice voicing and speaking about things that make you feel good. And behaving, this is a really important one, and it's in the way that we move, it's in how we exercise or breathe, act, how we eat, our lifestyle, how we dress, what makes us feel good, and in the ways that we behave. And then feeling, so locating sensual or sexual sensation and being really aware of how and where we feel, because I see in a lot of people that there's really just a black space from belly button down. They're so disconnected to their genitals and these erogenous zones that even just getting back in touch with feeling can improve the desire to want to experience pleasure.
Christina from Lower Plenty, you have a question for Georgia. What's up?
So my question for Georgia, first of all, howdy, how y'all doing?
Hey.
So I'm obviously pretty sexually active, and I've had lots of partners, but I'm really quiet in bed. And I had a partner just recently who said it is very vocal, and she basically was like, you should definitely try it. It helps this, that, this. And I was just curious if there was any studies behind that.
Studies behind it being
vocal.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's a great way to express when you can be vocal. And in climax, something happens to your vocal cords with the sort of autonomic physical responses during sexual activity that it feels good to release your vocal cords. And some people even have experienced throat climaxes because it is an ability to contract and release muscles I've heard of people who have had penetration into their throat and as a result have experienced climax. So being vocal is not only a great way to connect and to express how you feel, but it can feel really good too.
Yeah. So for someone who isn't as vocal naturally, how would you recommend becoming comfortable with that? I guess obviously practice in private and blah, blah, would probably work, but...
Yeah, absolutely. It's practice. And like any vocal work or speaking your desires, it can feel a bit weird at first, so allow for that. But a great way to start is to speak about what you're feeling or how you're feeling and what you're noticing. And then also speaking about what you want to do to someone or what you want to be done to you. And so long as that's within both your consent, then you can really say anything that you want.
Is there a way that, Georgia, maybe you could establish some kind of body language if you have trouble chatting in the bedroom? Like maybe like a squeeze here or a stroke here like means a certain thing. Like, is that a technique you could try?
Yeah, for sure. And then it becomes like a nice little sexual code between you two. For sure. I mean, if you find ways to make your communication and connection work for you.
Hope that helps, Christina.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much.
I think there's a little bit of conjecture and debate about the G-spot, where it is, what it is exactly, how it works. Can you explain it a little bit for us?
Yeah, sure. So I like to refer to it as the G-crest because it isn't just a spot that you magically push and you come everywhere. It's a crest of nerves, and it's actually a part of the clitoral network. So that means when you're stimulating this G-crest, you're actually stimulating part of the clitoris. And the way that you can find it is if you were to put your fingers into the vaginal canal and shape it in like a come here motion, you'll feel a rough or ridged area. So if you were to feel it when you're not aroused, that would be quite uncomfortable and the area isn't that large. But then with arousal, with stimulation, and as the person is more turned on and there's more blood flowing, that area becomes more engorged and it's actually more pleasurable to receive stimulation there. But the reason that I find it really hard to believe that there's still a myth about the G-spot because, you know, you just have to ask any person with a vulva if it exists who it does experience pleasure there and they'll tell you.
Chris from Newtown, you've kind of got an issue where you are having trouble orgasming with other people. Talk us through it.
All throughout my, like, younger years, I masturbated quite a lot and could always come, but then when I started sleeping with other people, I could never get there.
So I think this is another case of the habits, that when we know what feels good.
It's quite frustrating because, like, I can have, like, spontaneous orgasms. I've orgasmed at the gym before. But then when there's, like, a partner there, I struggle to get there.
So what kind of stimulus, like visual stimulus, do you use any when you're masturbating?
Yeah, quite hardcore porn.
So that might be the first thing to cut the hardcore porn and come back to your body and the physical sensations that you're feeling.
Actually, like, it's not quite such a problem anymore, and it kind of proves what you're saying, because I did actually stop masturbating for about 6 months, and I've just realised that I did actually manage to come with someone after that.
Hey, congrats.
But with the less masturbation, my libido has now dropped as well.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like how... And, like, before I was, like, my partners, I always had a really high sex drive, and, like, that was an issue for my partners, and now I'm seeing someone that I actually like, but my libido is quite low now. So it's like, how do you find the happy medium?
You can, and it comes to an area of exploration. So it could even be when you're self-pleasuring or masturbating, don't lie down on your bed. Find a new setting or situation where you can bring either movement or different kinds of touch to your self-pleasure, so you don't have to stop it altogether and then potentially lose your sex drive. But, yeah, just being inquisitive and exploring your body and giving the pleasure that you want to your own body so that you can then experience it with others too.
Yeah, okay.
Everything in moderation. I think like a moderate regime would work really well for you, Chris. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Georgia, this one says, I'm a 21-year-old guy that really enjoys sex, especially going down on girls. However, when I do go down there to give oral sex, I go soft really quickly. This can be very annoying, embarrassing and awkward, as it can come across to the girl that I'm not enjoying it. Is this because my mind is so focused on pleasing them that I forget about how I feel? What's going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this shame associated with, especially for people who have penises, who needing to be rock hard and ready to go. It's not physically possible all the time for some people. And when you are so concentrated on someone else, it doesn't mean that you are not turned on by them. And there's actually something called arousal non-concordance. And that is when there's a difference between what your body sees as sexually relevant and what your mind interprets as sexually appealing. So we can see that... coming into play, like when young boys are just going through puberty and they get those accidental boners and they're not aroused or turned on, but their body's just responding in another way. Just the same as when you are aroused and you're turned on and you want to be there, you want to experience pleasure with your partner. It's not that you're not there and it's not that you're not turned on by them. It's just arousal non-concordance. Your body is responding in unexpected ways.
Yeah, wow. Erin says, I can't help but being vocal when I orgasm. It's absolutely involuntary. It's amazing. And a question for you. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years now, and he's been able to make me climax by reaching my G-spot. But every time he tries to stimulate my clitoris during sex and foreplay, I feel extremely uncomfortable with any contact in that area. Is there a way where I can feel more comfortable with it?
Yeah, by changing the touch, it depends on the kind of touch that you are experiencing. That with blood flow, that it often becomes really sensitive. And like we said before, that your brain reads pain and pleasure in the same part. So changing the kind of touch so you're not having to push through pain and you can still experience pleasure. Another way could be really practically adding heaps of lube. That's a great way to especially when you're aroused and when there's a lot of blood flow, to feel more comfortable if there is that feeling of uncomfort with stimulation.
I think a thing that I've noticed personally with all the texts that have been coming through and calls, and thank you so much for all of those, is that a lot of people kind of get quite hung up on being goal-oriented. How can that sort of cause problems?
Well, we're a society that is just fascinated and fixated on the orgasm, which is the goal. And in order to have pleasurable sex, we need to take the goals out of sex so that you can start to feel sensation and feel connection and feel the pleasure in your body rather than just focusing on the orgasm at the end, because there is so much pressure put on people to reach it, whether they're reaching orgasm too early or they're reaching orgasm too late or not at all. So taking the goal out of it and going on that erotic possibility and allowing for it to be an experience of pleasure rather than just the goal to come.
Incredibly well said, Georgia Grace. Thank you so much for joining us on The Hookup.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via The Hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for The Hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.